This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bad days, bad days. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we come for you? Bad days, bad days. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we come for you? Bad days, bad days. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we come for you? Bad days, bad days. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we come for you?
Welcome to Bad Gays. For the next hour, there is nary a tiara, Doc Martin, or grinder alert in sight. Where it doesn't matter if your gaydar is on the fritz, because ours are too. I'm Helen.
And I'm Alex, and we have a special guest co-host tonight, all the way from Soul Provider, which is a few shows after us. You better listen to that as well. And our own proud bad gay, Matt Warren. Welcome, Matt.
Yeah, hi, guys. And thanks for having me join the team tonight. Hoping to fly the flag for all the bad gays out there. I do have a confession to make. I'm going to get this out in the open, just right up front. Mm-hmm. I am a bit of a Kylie fan.
Yes,
so
yes.
I don't know whether that, like, denies me membership access, but
there's always exceptions for everything. It's fine.
Yeah, does that make me a mediocre gay rather than a bad gay?
No, it makes you a bad gay. It makes you a bad gay.
Good. Well, I think I've become a bad gay, actually. I think, you know, it's kind of a rite of passage. The older you get, you are quite, you're allowed to become a curmudgeonly old grump, and I think that's where sort of this bad gay thing comes from.
You see, I started out like that, Matt, so I was obviously well before my time.
And well done. I feel like I'm watching an educational video. This is my future. Da, 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 da.
This is as good as it gets.
Yeah. Coming up with tonight's show, we've got a huge week. We're starting off with topic of the week, a little bit serious for us, and we're talking all things HIV stigmas, comparing a few decades ago to now, from two different generations talking on it. It's very important, needs to be addressed. We also have a very special guest. We're going to be talking to Nathan Clark from the incredibly sexy Port Douglas Get Wet Fest that's taking place early next year. And we've got our regular segments, including Gay Speak Word of the Week, Boulder Dash Edition, where Helen is leading the way. Let's see if I can bump up and make the score a bit even.
We'll see.
We shall. Stay tuned, baddies.
So the theme for this week, our music theme, which we love to have, my pick this week is Bringing Sexy Back. Not. So we are kicking off our music festivities this evening with none other than Hot Chocolate's You Sexy Thing.
Did you know you're ever
You are back on Bad Gaze with Alex,
Ellen,
and Matt.
Woo! I want to know, why are they called hot chocolate?
No idea.
Okay.
No idea. Well, I think it may have stemmed from their heritage in that.
Right.
Are we political correctness?
Yeah, you did really well there.
Yes, they are identified as African Americans. So okay. I believe that it may have been a time where those sort of things were not.
I think they're from the UK.
Are they?
Oh.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Well, sorry to be a musical Nazi there.
But, fantastic, yeah. Are they? Okay, so what's the definition there?
I don't know what's going with it.
It was from anyway, their heritage, I believe.
We'll define desserts next week, possibly.
Absolutely.
Beginning on to, you know, topic of the week, we're introducing this segment. We start off with a bang every show coming up, and we talk about something a bit more serious than more of our lighthearted fun stuff, which is coming up later, so stay tuned for that. We're talking all things HIV stigmas, like positive, negative, blah, blah, blah. The latest case, the latest example of, you know, big celebrity icons coming out, which I really think helps, you know, deflate such a issue with such a negative stigma for so long, is none other than Jonathan Van Ness. And if that name doesn't ring a bell to you, it will very soon. He is the 32-year-old queer eye global sensation who arguably has the best beard and head of hair you'll ever see in your entire life. He recently revealed that he's HIV positive, and in his latest memoir, Over the Top, A Raw Journey to Self-Love. Now, I'm going to start the conversation off. I'm going to throw it to you guys. Obviously, breaking news, even though I'm sure this isn't breaking news for anyone, there is a tiny little age gap and between us three.
Oh, I think everyone's well aware of that, Alex, yes.
And, you know, the AIDS epidemic, huge, especially in the 80s and the 90s. What was it like? I'm curious to hear from your perspectives. Growing up, we were talking off air earlier, at very young ages. Tell me a bit how that was like for you both.
I think, you know, Matt and I were discussing this off air, and one of the things, before we get into the more serious side of things, I do want the you out there who are joining us on our Bad Gay journey to know that Alex could give JVN a run for his money with the head of hair.
Yes.
So there you go. So a good head of hair in this studio.
It's flocking.
It is, absolutely. In terms of the HIV/AIDS epidemic, I think I was in my very formative years in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. And as a young teenager, it was not something that I was obviously particularly exposed to other than through mass media. Mm-hmm. And there was a world renowned campaign that is still studied as a case study in marketing, public relations, and affecting social change that stemmed out of Australia, and it was the Grim Reaper campaign.
Yeah.
And that was probably my first exposure to the epidemic, is seeing those ads on television. Mm-hmm. Matt, what...
Yeah, look, when you're hit with something like that at such an impressionable age, because I was a teenager, I you know, personally, I hadn't started engaging in sexual activity. When I was hit with this very graphic image of the Grim Reaper, you know, it's basically, it's death, it's horror, it's destruction, devastation. Completely different world back then, you know, like it is a different time now. I think the HIV epidemic has been very well managed through drugs. You know, you've got
PrEP.
Pre-medication, you've got post-medication. Mm. So... You know, I don't know whether it's for me to say whether it should be an obligation within a relationship to announce your status. I think that's up to the couple. However, I do think it's a lot less of a life or death situation to come out with now than it used to be back then.
I think that's the fundamental difference, I think, over the decades, is that when the epidemic first came to the forefront, it was told through media, through governments, it was a gay epidemic.
Right.
And so, as I said, my first exposure to it was when the Australian, you know, government and the AIDS Council and made these ads and started to put it as not a gay epidemic, but as a community epidemic. Mm. But, you know, Matt's absolutely right. At that point in time, this was a life or death sentence, and that's how it was portrayed. And I think the thing that has come about as more people have, you know, outed, in inverted commas, their status, is that it's no longer that life or death scenario that it was back in the 80s and 90s.
How crazy. We've come so far, in inverted commas, in time where you're saying it's a life or death situation, mass TV campaigns, to now seeing the odd street poster of very sexualized men and women with, like, statements such as, don't be an idiot, like, take PrEP or take all these, like, you know, these, like, drugs that, like, you know, help you not become positive and stuff like that. And it's great. Growing up, me personally, you know, in the last decade, it kind of wasn't, you don't really talk about it. You only talk about it when you're forced to during sex ed in year, whatever year it was, year nine, in the middle of high school. And it was kind of a very simple situation where if you have unprotected sex, you know, this is one of the major consequences. And that was it. That was all that was said. And only in my adult life now, like being, you know, heavily involved in the LGBT community, it's very more prominent that you have to be educated in stuff such as...
And with regards to the importance of actually having to come out and declare your status, do you think that has changed over the years? I think there's a lot less necessity these days to do it than there was back when it was a life or death situation.
I would agree. And I think you just look at the high profile cases. So, you know, the high profile cases back in the 80s and 90s, the likes of Rock Hudson and Freddie Mercury, who announced their HIV status, or that they were dying of an AIDS-related illness, the day before he passed away, because that was the stigma attached to it. Mm. Whereas now, I think that because of education, because of advances in research, in medication, announcing your HIV status doesn't appear to have the same momentous impact as it did way back when.
Mm. Yeah. And if you treat it earlier on enough, you can go through the process where you, you change. Anyway.
And there's not the same stigma, I guess.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what you're saying about this. What's his name? Jonathan Van Ness. Sorry, I'm bad guy. I'm not up with these
that's
guys.
Okay.
But I mean, I question what's the motivation behind him coming out and feeling that he needed to declare his status.
He claimed in an interview with Jimmy Fallon, the late night talk show host, he said that he felt guilty of hiding such a prominent, like, factor of his life, which I guess is arguably, we were just saying, it's your choice at the end of the day. You don't, it's private information.
I think like anything related to intimate sexual relations, to be politically correct again, is about ensuring the honesty and the safety of the person you're engaging in those activities with. And I think perhaps that, yes, I think it still garners, certain people still garner media attention. Just look at Charlie Sheen a couple of years ago. He was blackmailed into revealing his HIV status.
Yeah.
And I think that had a lot of momentum behind it, because here you have a well-known,
prominent figure in the community,
heterosexual figure,
right,
who had outed himself, once again in inverted commas, as have been HIV positive. And I think that garnered a lot of media attention, but does it have the same impact as it did back in the 80s and 90s? I would argue perhaps not.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
I think from a sort of like, it's a noble thing to do, right? Because these guys are holding themselves up as the pinnacle of what it is to be gay, right? So you've got five guys there. I mean, let's look at them. There's not a bad guy amongst them. Okay. They're all as cute as a button. They're all impeccably turned out.
There we go.
The foodie guy is just to die for, and he's like going out with this male model, you know, and he can cook amazing food. And, you know, they're kind of being held up there as these perfect gays that I couldn't possibly sort of ever...
That everyone should aspire.
Yeah, that I could possibly never achieve in myself. So the fact he's come out and said that he's HIV positive, it kind of gives a much more human factor to
I think
it.
You're right. It does put a... And I think it for... And Alex, probably this would be more directed at you. For a younger gay man, it certainly provides a... From a popular culture perspective, you know, people who you can relate to, as in, okay, here is a gay man who is living with this disease, and he is representing our community, which is a really positive thing.
And a good quote to take from it, I read this in an article that the New York Times published based on this, very exciting, and he said, you know, I'm doing so many things that a lot of HIV negative people cannot ever do or never will do. So there you go. We're going to leave you with that. That was topic of the week.
Bad gays, bad gays. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we come for you? Bad gays, bad gays. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we come for you? Bad gays.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.